Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, I'm still digging through the word here, man. I just came down the steps. We had a prayer here before we went on the air, and the Lord's really stirring me this morning. It really is. I hope that doesn't sound like I'm some fancy preacher, but really, really stirring me as I was putting together today's show the fourth day of December 2019. Man, Lord, just order our steps here, Lord. Order our steps. Now, we have an identity crisis. That's what I heard today when I was up preparing. Christians have an identity crisis. And Lord, just kind of unfold this as we're all here together. Unfold this so we can see and we can understand. We don't know who we are. Christians, I'm talking about. We don't know who we are. Because we don't know who we are, we don't understand even who we serve. Because we don't even understand who we serve, we don't understand who we are. Because we've been raised in a culture, in a society, a Christian culture, in a Christian society, we've lost the meaning of what that even means. To be a Christian, I'm talking about. We don't even know what that means. We break off in denominations. I was saying before we got rolling here on the show, before we went live on the air, candy in my mouth. Pardon me a second. I don't even remember who I was talking to. I was kind of in a haze there for a second. And we don't even know who we are. I was thinking about the things that we... I guess I was thinking about mortality. Really been on me here in the last couple weeks, mortality. Think about the book of Acts. Those are young men that died, you know. Paul may have been older. Those are young guys. Those Hebrews 11 folk, those are young people. And as I tried to expound on the other day, where's George Washington? Where is he? How long did he have? I checked. Thomas Jefferson was 38 years old when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. 38 years old. Where is he now? Where's Thomas Jefferson now? Where's Jeffrey Dahmer now? All these names that make all the difference, names that go down, that echo down the halls of history. Where are they now? Scripture says that life is a vapor. You hear it and then you're gone. And why is it that everybody who is alive is so concerned about staying alive? When we're told in Ecclesiastes 7 that the day of our death is more glorious in the eyes of the Lord than the day of our birth, why do we invest and put so much into this world? I'll tell you why, because we don't even know who we are. See, I'm heading somewhere. Stay with me. Let me get it off of my chest. I was really profoundly touched yesterday. I was out doing some work up at Sky High. And I listened to Michael Savage. I haven't listened to him in months, literally months. I haven't listened to him. I had my headphones on. I was doing some other thing. And I turned on Michael Savage, and he's talking about, I'm going to play a clip of it here in a second. He was making an unbelievable comparison between Jesus Christ. Bear with me. A Savage is a non-religious Jew. Now, we can go back to that discussion about whether Jews are a religion or whether they are a race. We can have that discussion if you want to. That's not really where I'm heading. a lot of people who were raised Catholic, and as far as I know, they're still Catholic, but they don't practice it. They don't practice Catholicism. He said, that's where I am with my Judaism. He said, I'm a non-practicing Jew. He said, I read the Bible. It's fascinating, and I'm going to encourage all of you to listen to it. And he made this unbelievable comparison between Donald Trump and Jesus of Nazareth before. He said, see, there was a deep state before. He said, there's always been a deep state. Now, Savage didn't have the wherewithal to be able to call it demonic. He doesn't have that understanding. He said, there's always been a deep state at work. You go all out through history. It's always been right against the deep state. Not the right, the direction right. Good and evil, right and wrong. It's always, he said, the maybe I'm extrapolating some of this. That the deep state is never good. It is never good. That the battle all throughout history, he says, you just go back through history and you run down every historical time and every, and you will find the people fighting against the deep state. And we said, we call it different things. Called it different things. But that's all throughout history. He said that deep state has never, ever left. He said, and he went back and he made the comparison between Caiaphas and all of the guys that Jesus went to before Pontius Pilate. I'll let you hear some of it here in a second. He brings in Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And he said, it's just a deep state. He said, Jesus Christ was just a version of going against the deep state. See, he doesn't understand the deeper spiritual steps. Bear with him. He doesn't have the download. He doesn't understand, but he sees it. And he said, Donald Trump's being, Jesus was no different than Donald Trump, he said, in that Donald Trump was going against the deep state of the day, the religious system. And who was it that turned on him? Why, it was the people who support the bureaucrats. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. It's always been that. It's always been that way. And as I'm listening to him, I'm thinking, yeah, you're right, Doc. He needs Jesus so bad. Michael Savage, he cried out yesterday. Said, I want so much. I want so much to serve this, whatever this thing is, this God, this be all in. I want so much to be able to do it. He said, I can't. I just can't. Well, he's not born again. He can't. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. And he has great natural wisdom, great worldly wisdom, and puts things together. But he's missing that. He's missing it. And I'm listening to him, and I'm thinking, man, oh, man, we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. And he did the most. I'm going to play it here in a second, promising you. He said, this might cost me my radio career. But he said, I got to say it. So the ones, I'll let him say it, because right-wing watch is going to come after me, because I'm about to say the one thing that you are not allowed to say. Okay? But I'm going to say it because I'm going to repeat what Michael Savage said, who is 70-some years old, and he says, if they throw me off tomorrow, they throw me off tomorrow. He said, the problem in America, are you sitting down? That it's never changed. It's never, ever, ever changed, he said. The problem in America is what he called the atheistic Jew. Atheistic Jews. And I'm listening to this, my head's spinning, and I'm thinking, atheistic. And he begins to rattle them off. Nadler, Schiff, all of them Jews, everyone, but he rattles it off. He calls them atheistic Jews. He said, I know practicing Orthodox Jews. They're great spiritual religious people. Most of them support Donald Trump, he said. But the world is being run by, he called them atheistic Jews. And it comes back to is it a race or is it a religion? Because here he is, a Jew, a religion, not even a religious Jew, a cultural Jew who understands that the problem going on, he said, what's going on is it's a replay of anti-Semitism that's going to come on the Jewish people again because they are leading. They're doing to Donald Trump exactly what was done to Jesus Christ. He didn't compare Trump to a savior, anything like that. Point being, the atheistic Jews took Jesus to the deep state. The religious system, the religious deep state, took Jesus to the governmental deep state. And Michael Savage says the same thing's going on today. But that the entire battle is being led by, he called them, atheistic Jews. Now, that, again, race, religion. But the point that he was making and the point that's all around us, if we'll simply open up, remember, we don't know who we are. And I told my wife today when I was finally getting up to come down here and do the show, hey, listen, I don't care if you ever watch again. I don't care. We don't know who we are. And as I was coming down the steps, I said that to Michelle, we have an identity crisis. And you think about how much of American Christianity is directed and focused and spoken about the Jews. Now, is that anti-Semitic to say that? I'm not against the Jews. But Michael Savage rattled off the atheistic Jews who were in charge of trying to overthrow the will of the American people. He said, it's always been that way. That is the deep state. That's what we're fighting. And I said, you know what, folks? Please, Lord, help me say this in the right way. We have Christians who, if you were gut honest, if they were gut honest, would tell you that they would love to be a Jew. They would love to, folks, Galatians 3, go to Galatians 3. Please go to Galatians 3. And much of Christendom is worshiping Israel. You don't have to agree with me. I'm just telling you the truth, all right? I turn on the Mike Gallagher show every day, and I want to know how many more tours of Israel people can have. Now, I don't have any problem going to Israel, but folks, it ain't the physical Jew. We are children of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm more precious in the eyes of my Savior than any bloodline Jew that was ever born. I'm sorry if you don't like that. I'm sorry. We have a terrible identity crisis. We are desiring somehow to become Jewish again. I don't know how that's happened to us.
Amen.
And I felt so clearly as I was out there and I was listening to Savage and I was thinking about my own upbringing and how many people I know are focused on Israel and on the Jews and we don't even know who we are. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Not greater is he that is in Israel than he that is in us. Greater is he that is in us. We, Christians, Americans. And if we could focus on who we are as children of the King, much of this stuff that we see going on around us would end if we realize who we are, who we represent, whose voice we are. Sit down today, if you will, turn on some talk radio or whatever, and you just watch how many times you hear about Israel and the Jews. I'm in Galatians 3. We got an identity crisis, my boys. See, the Jews should be begging to become Christians. The Jews should be begging to be like us. And we can't wait for us to be like them. And we want to go be God's chosen people. Dude, you already are. You already are. Walk it out. Nothing special about a Jew.
Amen.
How do you know that? I'm going to read it to you. How many times does it have to be read to you till you understand? And I was saying before we went on the show, if you were on a desert island and a Bible was dropped down by a helicopter onto your lap and you'd never read it before and you picked it up and read it, you would not find what we see in American Christianity today. You wouldn't find it. We're consumed with it. Yeah, I'm hot. Catch my breath here.
Amen, Coach.
I'm on it, man, Randy. I'm on it. I don't care. I don't care who I tick off. I don't care. Huh? Come on, man. The Jews ought to, we're supposed to make them jealous. They're supposed to be jealous of us. And everywhere I look, it's Jew worship. I'll say, Coach, are you anti-Semitic? You're an idiot. You're an idiot if you think that. I am Semitic. You are too. It's lies. All lies. And the church gobbles it up and gobbles it up because we don't know who we are. We're child of the King.
Yes, Coach.
I'm a child of the King. I'm a prince. Jews. Jewish. We'll find out. Hey, I'm in trouble right now because I even mentioned that name. I'm even taking this. They'll throw me off. They'll throw me off Facebook for sure today. You're not allowed to talk about that. Boy, you can beat down the Christians all you want to. Another high school football coach here in Ohio praying before football games. Hey, boys, that ain't against the law. That ain't against the law. And do you know who's fighting it? Well, I'm not going to tell you who's fighting it, because if I tell you who's fighting it, they'll call me anti-Semitic. But you're smart enough to know where all this is coming from. Michael Savage called them atheistic Jews. In other words, Jews who don't believe alone the God of the Bible. Oh, foolish Christians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you? See, they crucified Jesus Christ. And what has happened to you guys? This only what I learn of you received. Did you receive the spirit of works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? How did you become a Christian? You born one? You born a Jew? Now you got special rights? How'd that happen to you? Did it come by the flesh? Law? Did it come by the Spirit? Are you so foolish, having begun the Spirit? Now you want to go back? You want to become a Jew? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, did he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Did he do it by his bloodline? Is that how he did it? He was born a Jew, and so therefore he was able to heal. Is that what he says? Even as Abraham believed God was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham was a Jew. And Abraham got righteousness because it was accounted to him from the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and these shall all nations be blessed. We are all, through Jesus Christ, children of Abraham. Wake up! Savage said atheistic Jews, not me. A Jew called them atheistic Jews. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not, and all things are written in the book of the law. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. No man is justified by flesh. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but that the man that doeth shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Written, cursed is anyone that hangeth on a tree, and that the blessing of Abraham, a Jew, might come on Coach Dave, a Semite. Sorry, a Melungeon. The blessing of Abraham might come to Coach Dave through Jesus Christ and not some bloodline placed over in the Middle East. That Coach Dave might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brothers, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul their attitude. Not to Abraham and his seed were the promises. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. There is the seed. Jesus Christ is the seed. And through Jesus Christ, we all enter into the kingdom. No other way. I don't care if you're born in Jerusalem. I don't care if you're born on the Golan Heights. I don't care if you're born in Africa. There is only one way that you're going to come to Christ, and that's through the promise. For if the inheritance be of the bloodline, this says law, but if the inheritance be of the bloodline, then it's no more a promise. If you just naturally get it because you're one of God's chosen people, then it ain't no promise. But God gave it to Abraham. How? promise. What was the promise? Make you a father of many nations. Many nations. Nations being ethnos, ethnic groups. Scroll on. I don't want to read through this whole thing. Going down to about 30. There you are. Start right there. Go back up there. For your children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Huh? You're a child of God, Randy, by faith in Christ Jesus, not because you're a Jew. I'm going to tell you something, boys and girls. Jews aren't the children of God. Michael Savage said they're atheistic Jews. Michael Savage said that. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. You want to put Judaism on? Is that what you want your identity to be? Judaism? You want to wear one of those funny little hats? You want to go down dressed? You want? Is that really? Really? Because boys and girls, there's neither Jew nor Greek. This is out of the Word of God. There's no Jew. There's no Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then dude, you are a Jew.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I want to make one statement. And I'll probably be ostracized by certain people, and that's okay. I have a long time. But as long as a person, a Christian of any denomination, of any kind of background, I don't care who you are, if you continue to prop up the nation of Israel as God's people, you cannot see this truth. A dispensational theology, that's the only thing that is keeping this thing propped up. Until you're willing to step away from that, you can't understand this principle, what you're talking about.
I agree, Randy, but to me, it's not even theological. It's right there in the Word. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Why?
But you can't see it, Coach, until you can't see this truth until you take the you are untaught.
Yeah, Randy,
you see that they were not going to get a special place sometime in the future. It's just
Randy,
not there. We're taking it out of context to make it say that.
Yeah, Michael Savage, a Jew, calls them atheistic Jews. Yeah. They don't even follow the Torah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Randy, you and Coach are both 100% right. And here's the aspect I'm talking about. When he spoke to the multitudes of people, if he wasn't speaking specific to those close around him that were supposed to have understanding of what was going on, he talked to them in parables, intentionally keeping truth from them. And Randy, what you just said about only certain people can understand what Coach is talking about. Now, I tell you right now, everybody in this queue or listening to this show right now, if your insides are rising up against and fighting against what Coach said, I'll tell you right now, because I have practiced for decades and decades learning good from evil. If your instincts are fighting against Coach right now, you need to get down on your knees and figure out who Jesus Christ is to you, because you are not his.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. Folks, I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. Why the worship of the Jews? Why? What is going on? There's neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He said, when he tore down that in AD 90, when the temple came down, he said, "There's not going to be one stone left upon another. I'm tearing this old religious system down. There is a new king in town. There's a new sheriff in town. And we're moving forward where we all have the opportunity now to become God's chosen people." I'm sorry. That's the way I read it. That's the way I read it.
Hey, Coach.
Amen.
Yeah, Gary.
Yes. The atheistic Jews don't follow the Torah, but they do follow the Talmud.
Savage is the one that called him atheistic. Gary, listen, here's all I'm trying to say. And if you've been listening to this show for any time, I just repeat what the scripture says. Not all Israel is Israel. Those who say they are Jews and are not. And Michael Savage, a Jew, said some of them boys ain't Jews. They're atheistic Jews. They're wicked. They're the deep religious state. Designed. He didn't use Satan because I don't know if he believes in Satan. Am I in trouble this morning? Am I making some of you nervous? See, the problem is there's an identity crisis. There's an identity crisis. And who is running? Okay. Michael Savage said, and he's not Jesus Christ, okay? I don't know if I want to take time. This is so profound. I don't know if we can take the time to get it all in. It's parts of it are wrong. Maybe you need to go listen to it on your own. But he calls them out. He calls them out. He says, why is it all these atheistic Jews? They're trying to destroy America. He said, they're not trying to destroy Donald Trump. They're trying to destroy America. They're trying to destroy everything righteous in this country. Prayer in the schools, right? Homosexual. Do you understand that behind all that stuff is atheistic Judaism? Do you understand that? Oh, this will be on Right Wing Watch tomorrow because they're probably part of the same group that Savage is talking about, I would assume. Look. East Knox High School, some little school out in the middle of podunk nowhere, now being confronted by what? Freedom from Religion Foundation because they prayed before and after a football game? What? Well, who do you suppose is at the heart of that? It's that same deep state cabal that Michael Savage calls the atheistic Jews. Let's listen to a couple minutes. Let's go to the eight-minute mark of this real quick. I don't even know if I'm allowed to do it. Hey, go ahead and double time him, too. Maybe we can get him through. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. I don't know about you guys. No, don't double time. I'm sorry. Go to 1.5. You can listen to it here. You can start at the four-minute mark, but start it at the eight-minute mark. Just start at the four-minute mark. Go ahead. I want you to hear this. And then we'll put in a link, and you ought to listen to the whole thing because he goes throughout the whole show. Go ahead.
They're very much like the Sanhedrin. I want to get to that in a minute. We've heard the words deep state. We know what that is. FBI, CIA, NSA, who plotted against President Trump. But why are they plotting against President Trump? And what does it have to do with the crucifixion of Jesus and the impeachment causing a rise of anti-Semitism in the nation? Well, give me a few minutes and you may see. You may agree or not agree. The crucifixion of Jesus. I'm not comparing Trump to Jesus. The differences in the two are quite clear. However, both Jesus and Trump were falsely accused by people in power and turned over to a deep state to do their will. And the new Rome, who Jesus stood up to, is today's new world order. No one has said this before. It's original to the Savage Nation. And I hope you understand where I'm coming from and where I'm going. Think about it. Just think about it. Why was Jesus crucified? Because he stood up to the new world order, the new Rome, rather. At the time, Rome was the world order. Jesus defied Rome. The Romans went to the Jewish leaders and said, nail him to a cross. By the way, that's quite a loaded phrase. Nail him to a cross. Find a charge to nail him to a cross with. It's exactly the same as what is going on here because Trump has stood up to the new Rome. What is the new Rome? And what is the new Rome? The EU and the deep state. Now, this has been compared to the Salem witch trials and McCarthyism, but it bears a resemblance to the crucifixion of Jesus. I want you to think a little more carefully about this. The Sanhedrin, who were they? The Sanhedrin were a group of rabbis who were the Supreme Court of the time in ancient Palestine. It was like a Supreme Court, a body of 71 rabbis. And then smaller Sanhedrin made up of 23 rabbis who reached decisions in outlying areas. In the case of Jesus, the Jewish leaders were told to accuse and condemn Jesus of violating the Sabbath law because he conducted healings on the Sabbath. Accuse him of threatening to destroy the Jewish temple. Accuse him of sorcery. Accuse him of exorcising people by the power of demons. And accuse him of claiming to be both the Messiah and the Son of God. In essence, Rome did not want anyone saying they were a king, as Jesus was said to have claimed in being the king of the Jews, because this would have set the ruling class, the world order in Rome. According to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is tried, condemned by the Sanhedrin. But here's the most important point of today's show. Not all members of the Jewish Sanhedrin, not all of them condemned him to be crucified. Of the 23, 21 said crucify him. Two said do not. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus dissented from this decision. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus dissented from this decision to crucify Jesus. I would have been Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus if I were alive at that time. I would not have been one of the 21 like Schiff or Nadler or Goldman. I can give you the names. It's unimportant. Isn't this very similar to Schiff's and Nadler's star chambers, where only a few were allowed to attend? And I want you to remember another element to this. Who is it who is the mastermind behind all of this? She is not Jewish. That's Nancy Pelosi. But she is using Jewish people to do her dirty work. It's very interesting to me. Where is she today? The peasant avante of all of this is in Paris, yapping about something she knows nothing about climatology. So then what happens after the 21 rabbis say, kill Jesus? Jesus is turned over to the Romans for crucifixion. The Romans were the deep state of that time. Pontius Pilate found no basis for this crucifixion, much like Bob Mueller found no collusion. But the deep state said, we want blood. Pilate offered the crowd to spare Jesus or the thief Barabbas, as was the tradition of the day. But the bloodthirsty crowd yelled, give us Barabbas. So the Romans moved forward. The Romans spit on him, beat him, cut him, put a crown of thorns on Jesus' head, and he took it. He took it all the way to the end when he was put on a cross and died in agony. Only then did people see he was an innocent man. Again, I'm not comparing Donald Trump to Jesus. The differences are obvious. Trump fights back because there's no father for him to turn to. He knows the truth and fights against those trying to hide it. While Jesus fought for the souls of man, Trump is fighting for the basic rights of man under our Constitution and himself, and he's being vilified in much the same way as Jesus was. And in the same way a deep state is now using Jews to do their dirty work, knowing that they will be the ones to suffer the consequences, they get a twofer out of this. I don't think you understand how deep this goes. They know that after this is all over, the damage will be done to the Jewish people, not to the deep state. They will have caused a rise in anti-Semitism, and it's not that they don't care, that's part of their goal. What's more important is preserving the way of life of the New Rome and trying to impose the New Rome upon you. It doesn't matter who gets killed in the process. That is my monologue on the Savage Nation. Will impeachment cause a rise of anti-Semitism in the country?
And Jared or Connor, if you would, put this in the chat, because, folks, I'm going to tell you, this is really good. It's really good. It's really worth listening. In fact, I had another segment at a 1 hour and 12-minute mark. It's not going to make it about Savage. We don't know who we are. Christians don't know who we are. I was on the phone last night. We can start with Keith Neumeier's case going on out in Montana, in Helena, Montana. There's no justice out there. There's no justice. A cabal of people get in power in a certain organization, and they run the lives of people. There's no justice. There's no justice. Oh, see, well, we won't call them Jews. How about we call them government workers? Would that be okay? We call them government workers? What are the government workers after? Are the government workers after doing good? No, they're just after feathering their own nests. That's all they want to do. They're about staying in power and getting all the perks for themselves. Our government workers aren't trying to make life better for us. Come on, wake up to that, right? So it's everywhere that you look, this whole thing called the deep state. And it goes back to the very seed of the serpent, Genesis, seed of the serpent, seed of the one. I'm going to shift gears. I just would encourage you to go listen to that yesterday's Michael Savage show. You can find it on YouTube. December 3rd. It's fascinating. It's really fascinating to get to the end of it, towards the end of it, and hear him admit that he would love so much. He would love so much to dedicate and serve his life to God. God, like he says, I see some Christians do it. And he said, I would love so much to be able to, but I just can't do it. It's a heart cry from the guy. It's pretty powerful. I'll shut up. Somebody come in. Beat on me or pat on me. I don't care which. I know I just told you the truth. I know that I told you the truth. That we do not understand who we are. And we are worshiping and bowing our knee at the very hand that's slapping us down.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
The only thing I would add is I'm reading a tome right now entitled The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit, which I would recommend to the viewers and the listeners as something worth considering if you want to go deeper in with this particular argument. So it's over 1,000 pages, The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit. Yep.
Okay. It's not an argument. So I'm not here, folks. Mike didn't mean to use that word, argument. I understand that. I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to argue about the Jews. I'm here to tell you, you don't have any idea who you are. If you're born again and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, why do you want to go worship the Jews? I don't get it. I don't get it. Atheistic Jews. Michael Savage said, by the way, probably banned on YouTube because you're not even allowed to use that word.
Hey, Coach, read, yep. You want to see the deep state? Read John 11:48. John 11:48. You'll see the deep state there. And
it's never gone away, man.
But the sad part, and I'm not anti-Semitic. I love the Jewish people. I believe they can come into the kingdom quick as I can or you or anybody else. But The fact is the fact. The history. God let Satan set up his king, his throne right there, and it hasn't really left. So go ahead and read that, Coach. John 11:48.
48. Okay, Connor. 48. 48.
You can start a couple of verses above it if you want.
Then gathered the chief. I'm in 45. Then many of the Jews, which came to Mary and had seen the thing which Jesus did, believed on it. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done, and then gathered the chief. There's a deep state. Here comes a deep state. Then gathered the deep state for a council and said, what do we do? This man's done a lot of good stuff. If we let him alone, all men would believe on him. The Romans shall come and take away both. The Romans will come and take away all of our perks. One of them said, named Caiaphas.
That's tough. That's it. Yeah. They will take away our place and our nation. If we don't get rid of this Christ, he will take away. He will cause everything to change.
And that revolutionary spirit's still alive today, isn't it? Isn't it? Folks, we're dealing with people who hate Christ. They hate Christ. They hate everything Christian. And what's our defense? We love everything. We love them as they hate us. We love them as they sodomize our children. We love them as they teach atheistic humanism in our public schools. We love them all the way as they do that. We love them as they tell us we can't pray before football games. We love them when they tell us we can't pray before graduation. Oh, we just love them all the way through. See, we don't understand it's a war. We don't understand the war. And I got to tell you this, we don't understand who's behind it. I'm making enemies today. I don't care. I'm sick of it, man. I'm sick of it. Okay, I'm going to share. Anybody else before I shift gears? Here's why. Pull Pat Robertson up there, Connor. Pat Robertson's lost his stinking mind. Here's why. Pat Robertson. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Now, I looked down the link. This says 2013. I can't believe this was 2013. 6 years later, it's popping up. Folks, I want you to listen. I want you to listen. Listen to this great Christian leader. And you explain to me why we're where we are. Go ahead. Play it, Connor.
Work with two people who have decided that they are females. I know what the Bible says about homosexuality, but is it wrong to refer to them as females since they've had their gender status changed in the eyes of the law? Why would you have to refer to them as females?
I don't understand all that, but I think there are men who are in a woman's body. Mm-hmm. It's very rare, but it's true, or women that are in men's bodies, and they want a sex change, and that is a very permanent thing, believe me, when you have certain...
Has he mentioned the demonic world at all yet? Has he mentioned anything about demonic influence? I want you to listen how confused he is, all right? Now, he's going to say, yeah, he believes that there are men born in women. Yeah, I believe that. And now he's going to go on and tell you that he doesn't believe. Listen.
Certain body parts amputated, and you have shot up with various kinds of hormones. It's a radical procedure. I don't think there's any sin associated with that. I don't condemn somebody for doing that. But somebody who just says, well, I'm really a woman, I question the validity of that statement, but they say they're counted as
free. So somebody who just, he believes men are born into women's bodies. They believe that. But someone who just says that they're a woman, well, first of all, it's not a sin. If you're a man born in a woman's body and you get your dinkle cut off, that's not a sin. That's not a sin. Because, you know, legitimately, there are people who do that. And then once you get mutilated like that, but if you're just one of those people who just sat, you're just saying it, go on. This old man's confused. Go ahead. Listen,
female,
hang on.
You don't count.
Stay with me to the end. You will not believe his last sentence. Go on.
somebody's female unless they really are, or male unless they really are.
In this instance, so this is a person who works with two people, so he doesn't really know their intentions or know their personal medical scenario.
It's not for you to decide or to judge. All right.
It's not for you to decide or to judge. Was it the Christian Coalition he led? Mike Heath. When he's sitting right there with Dobson, the Christian Coalition? I think he was. I think he was. See, most people are oblivious to what's going on. Most of them are oblivious. They don't have any idea what's going on, including our leaders. What a great opportunity for Pat to explain the demonic world and how that happens. Addictions and how addictions, sexual addictions and pornography. What an opportunity for him to go deep and to explain. Instead, what was his response? Not for you to judge. Not for you to judge. Helping them. Anybody out there? Feel like I'm alone this morning.
I heard a while back that Pat Robinson has your...
Yeah, but listen, I'm going to say that. They say that about every one of us. They say that I get my hand. I hear it all the time.
Right.
Listen to me. It's always about money, right? People always griping and moaning about money. They're not griping and moaning about bad teaching. They're not griping and moaning about smoke machines in the sanctuary. They're not griping. It's always about money, 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 money,
right.
Money. And listen, I don't care who you are. At the base of something inside of you, there's a core belief that you have. There's a core belief. And I'm going to pay enough money in the world to buy me away from my core belief. And I would hate to believe that Pat Robertson is being sold out because of money. There's something else going on. By the way, he's one of the great worshipers of the Jews. I'll tell you that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, normally the understanding that we have is that we get wiser, you know. But in Pat Robinson's case, those professing to be wise become fools because he's developed this logic in his mind that he understands the scripture better than Jesus does, that he can twist it to what he wants it to be. So thinking and professing to be wise because he says got this title behind him, I've been a Christian all my life and blah, 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 blah. Professing to become wise, he becomes foolish because he does not understand the scripture. And Jesus looked at the religious people and says, you study the scriptures and thinking that you have found salvation, yet you have not. Yet you have not.
Well, who are we to judge, right? That's what Pat Robertson would say.
We're biblical Christians. That's exactly I look at that and say, who are we to judge? We are biblical Christians. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. We are a biblical Christian, and a spiritual man appraises all things.
Yeah, we are obedient spiritual Christians. We are told to judge. We are told to discern good from evil. We're told to practice that.
Yeah, too, you know, the problem, everything we know about who we are in Christ, Christian self-image, every bit of it is in the Bible. And we're just seeing the results of people who never read the Bible. They listen to their little famous spiritual broadcasters or the famous person who wrote a book or whatever, or their pulpiteers who don't read the Word of God. So we're seeing the fallout from those who are biblically illiterate. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Okay, let me camp right here a minute. Do you think the average Christian could explain this phrase? Are you ready? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What, when you get right down and you slice and you dice that open, what does that mean? What does that mean? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That would be like saying to somebody, in fact, I used to hear it all the time, my dad can beat up your dad. Greater is he, my dad, that's in me, than your dad that's in the world. For what purpose? Why would it be important that greater that is, that he, why does it matter that the greater one's in me, not in the other guy? Why does that even matter? Come on, crack this open for me. Somebody help me out here.
He gives us the power. He gives us the power, Coach, to overcome sin.
Not only just sin in our own lives, though, right, Alan?
Amen.
It's the manifestation to destroy the works of darkness. Jesus said, these things I do, you shall do greater works than what Jesus did. But when you have all of a sudden all these people baptized in the Holy Ghost, brother, we're walking around with the same authority and power that Jesus has. Now, this is my message on Sunday. What man are you feeding? Because, brother, what's happening is because a person says, greater is he that is in me. Well, there's a false resurrection, and they're feeding their old fleshly man. And guess what? They think he's greater. And then they live by that law. They live by their old man nature.
Yeah, because they think it's only about heaven and hell, see? They think it's only about them personally overcoming in this life to make it to the next life. Well, if it's about that, then why are you hanging on so badly to this one, if that's what it's supposed to be?
Well, Coach, I think you hit the nail on the head, because in Acts 1:8, when it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, which a Greek word means martyr. Holy Spirit in you is going to do all the work, casting demons out, performing sanctification, worshiping Spirit and truth, teaching you the Word of God. But people don't know who the Holy Spirit is, or they abuse the Spirit. They abuse the gifts. They quench the Spirit. They grieve the Spirit. They resist the Spirit. It's a deplorable place we're in today in the church.
Robert, are you a child of God? Are you a child of God?
For sure. Born of the Spirit.
Where were you born?
When?
Where?
Well, I was born again in college. But
No, not that one. When were you born? I mean, like, is there something special about your bloodline?
Well, yeah, the bloodline, the spiritual bloodline is.
No, not about spiritual bloodline. What were you? What's your ethnicity?
Well, it's American. It's American? White, Caucasian, but
yeah.
Well, see, we're a new race. The thing is, we're a new race.
You're not on the 7-lane highway, and the Jew, you're not one of the Jews, and you're on the 7-lane highway to heaven.
No,
I'm on the rest area. At some point, they're going to say to you, "You're not living below them, are you? You don't see yourself below them, do you?"
I see myself seated at the right hand of God. That's where I see myself.
That's what we're supposed to see. That's what we're supposed to see, right? Uh-huh. No, I'm sorry. I'm not sitting at the right hand of Israel. Okay, I'm not.
That is the outward natural man. We see that. We hear that title. But, brother, I don't care, like you said in Galatians, whether Jew. Brother, I don't care if you're Chinese, Japanese, Russian, German, American. I don't know why you call them African Americans. They weren't born in Africa. They were born in American. They're black Americans. Brother, when you cut them, there's only, four or five types of blood in the entire world, period. There's nothing. I don't care what you are, Jew or whatever. If you're A, you're A. If you're B, you're B. A negative, B negative, O positive, whatever. That is it. There's nothing else.
Dale, do you get power from any other blood? Is there only one blood that gives you power, brother?
There's absolutely only one, brother, and that is the blood of Jesus.
It ain't Christ's blood mixed with Jews, right? It ain't that. It ain't Christ's blood mixed with the Sanhedrin. It ain't Christ's blood mixed with work. It ain't Christ's blood mixed with a collar around your neck. It's Christ's blood and Christ's blood alone. There's no Jew. There's no Greek. There's no woman. There's no man. There ain't nothing except whether you are in Christ or you are not in Christ. And I say it's time that Christians realize who in the heck we are.
Hey, Coach, back to Pat Robertson. If that was a perfect time for Big Pat to say, hey, Satan loves making a mockery of mankind.
Yeah, he just did it, didn't he, Alan?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
This is a good question we should ask. Is Jesus the king over the natural kingdom today? Is he ruling over Israel? Is he even ruling over the United States? Or is he ruling over a spiritual kingdom that every born-again Christian is under? It's the nation of God. Isn't that the kingdom we're talking about?
Well, how about this one, Alan? They said that you're king of the Jews, right? He never said that. No, no, he says my kingdom's bigger than that. Are you kidding me? You want to just limit me to the Jews? Dudes, my kingdom's not of this world. Oh, if you even knew how big my kingdom is. We want to lock him back down into that Jewish Israel kingdom. He's king of the world. Oh man, I'm not trying to make anybody mad. This is so clear to me. This is just so clear to me. We don't know.
Hey, who Coach, you want a Hallmark moment? Here's a Hallmark moment. A Hallmark moment is you go to Hallmark here and you buy them Christmas cards, and it talks about the angels. And Luke chapter 2, it says, and suddenly appeared with them angels in the multitude of heaven and hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst men. And every single Hallmark card ends with the period right there. But in the NSAB, the continual of the thought says, and peace on earth among men with whom he is pleased. Brother, amen. Right there. That amen. Is the self-question of all time. It doesn't say amongst Jews. It doesn't say amongst Gentiles. It says the peace is on earth with men whom God is pleased with. So the question is God pleased with me?
Oh, Dale, Izzy. Hey, folks, I got two things I got to show. I just got to go. Do me this real quick, Connor. Go back to Galatians. Oh, boy. Let's go to Galatians 4. And go to about verse 24. Because listen, it's just me, okay? It's just me. People, I get offers. Not that's not true. People have asked me, hey, Coach, you want to go to the Holy Land? Want to go visit the Holy Land? And I say, no. No. So you want to go walk where Jesus walked? You want to go look in that tomb? No, I don't need to go look in that tomb. I don't need to go walk where he walked. He walks with me every day. No, I don't need to go there. Well, you want to go there, what for? To see some earthly evidence of a spiritual kingdom? You want to go see that thing? Is that what you want to do? And I'm not interested in that. Sorry. It'd probably need to go look at it. I'd probably need to see the Sea of Galilee. Yeah, but I don't have any interest in going. What's the word I'm looking for? Is that whatever? I don't know. But I noticed this in Galatians 4. I'm just going to throw this one at you too. This is me. Okay, Galatians 4. Verse 24, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, oh, don't get me going, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Look, 26, well, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Hey, Coach, what are you saying? Why, the New Jerusalem's the bride. It's the mother of us all. It's not the church. It's right there. Jerusalem, I don't want to go. I want to see the heavenly Jerusalem. I'm not interested in the earthly Jerusalem. Hey, got to end up with this today. Just as a, I hope you still love me, although I don't really care if you do or not. I got to show you this stuff I deal with all the time. See if you guys think I should ask this guy. Whoops, I'm lost here on my own screen. See if I should ask this guy to come and be a guest. He wouldn't do it. It's what's it say? It says homo vid of me, Connor. Homo vid of me. I get this kind of stuff all the time. This one I thought was particularly interesting. I think I want to have this guy on Way of the Mister. Way of the Mister. He talks about the coach here. I think I want to, when we're done here, I think I want to get him on for a debate, because he wants to make Christianity unthinkable again. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make Christianity unthinkable again. By the way, he and his folks are doing that, aren't they? Aren't they doing it? Go ahead and play it, Connor.
Coach Dave Dobenmeyer went on his show and just demonstrated the kind of unconditional love his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ advocated during his brief Middle Eastern Judge Not Lest Ye Be Judged tour. Now, Normally, I wouldn't place something like this in one of my videos, but this is so vile, I think you have to see it to believe it.
Mayor Pete Buttplug would be just another mayor in America if he didn't have a husband. Is it a husband he has? I think he has a husband. So he doesn't even take the leadership role in his home because he has a husband, he being the wife. If he's the wife, does that mean he is the inserter or the insertee? I don't know Pete. I don't know Mayor Pete. He's probably a great guy, probably a great neighbor, probably is. But what he does in the privacy of his own home is, in fact, his own business until he wants to be president of the United States. And then when he wants to be president of the United States, I'd like to do some scrutiny on what type of moral character this guy has. And we need to make homosexuality unthinkable again, folks. That needs to go back in the closet.
So this religious right nutbar, who many of his fellow believers see as a good evangelical Christian, wants to see America make homosexuality unthinkable again.
Yes, I do.
The problem is, as you can plainly see, there is no one in America thinking more about homosexuality than Coach Dave and people like him. Good Christians. So if we're going to take Coach Dave seriously and make homosexuality unthinkable again, we clearly need to start with the evangelicals. We have to figure out some way to stop these people from their obsessive, nonstop, day in, day out, minute by minute fetish of thinking about homosexuality. And who exactly is the inserter and insertee? In the past couple of weeks, I've put a good deal of thought into this because I really do want to help Coach Dave and my evangelical friends who agree with him. So I've come up with this 3-point plan to help them stop thinking and caring so much about homosexuality. First, we need to convince these evangelicals that homosexuals are either all or by and large very poor people, ideally people of color who need our help.
Yeah,
we can refer to them as...
You get the point. I'm going to invite him to come on for a debate. Think he'll do it? Think he'll do it? Huh? See, it's just ad hominem attack. I'd like to talk to this guy. I'd like to get him on record. Let him answer a few questions for us. See, but here's the reason I'm showing this, folks. Make Christianity unthinkable again. We're at war. We're at war. Michael Savage called them what? Atheistic Jews. What's this guy? Humanistic homo. What is he? What is he? There are people who are at war against all things good. And we need to wake up to it. Couple minutes left. Somebody help me wrap this. Oh, Robert. Robert, we got time. Come on, man. December 4th. Bring us home here, buddy. Evangenitals.
Well, December Coach, 4th. This does sort of connect in with the Christian self-image, Christian identity in Christ. I'll forget the quote here. Let's go in with the devotional. December 4th, it's going to talk about the Christian self-image. It says, you're going to see what we are in Christ when we read through this.
Scroll up, Robert. Come on, Connor, scroll up.
It says, scroll up, Connor, and we'll see what we have here December 4th.
Go ahead and start reading it, Robert. Run
okay,
out of
time. It says, how well have Christians been outfitted for spiritual victory? The inspired scriptures makes us adequate and prepared for every good work. So we have the scripture. The abundance of God's grace is fully adequate for us to stand strong. So we have the grace of God. The indwelling Holy Spirit is greater than any power coming against us. Our biblical faith overcomes the world and extinguishes all the fiery darts of the evil one. And God's great and magnificent promises secure for us all that is needed for life and godliness. So going on with our Christian self-image, Christ's intercession keeps us in fellowship with God. The Spirit's prayers keep us on the path of sanctification. The love of God keeps us encouraged. And the faithfulness of God keeps us hopeful. Our future inheritance, redemption, and eternal bliss keep us fighting and persevering. Our righteous indignation and fear of God keeps us hating evil and warring in the heavenly places against wickedness in the world, launching prayers that pierce his darkness declaring truths that expose his lies. If more Laodicean Christians and others would begin realizing how well we have been outfitted or who they are in Christ, maybe the shame of their nakedness would not be so revealing. Again, a word on Christian identity, who we are.
Yeah, we don't know who we are, do we? Christian identity crisis. That's what it is. That's the title of this song. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, must not suffer loss. From victory into victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.